coming up on Thunder Pop.
We have some breaking news now interrupting that conversation with Ian Bremmer. Some sad news. Star Wars actress Carrie Fisher has died. The 60-year-old actress suffered a heart attack back on Friday. She spent the holiday weekend in the intensive care unit at UCLA Medical Center.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is episode number 27 of the Thunder Pop podcast, and I've got the one and only Mr. Reed Charles.
G'day, cunts.
You did that again. He turns away.
I don't want to yell in the mic.
He doesn't want to yell that in the mic. I mean, if you're worried about rudeness, you've already
it's
thrown
too
that,
late for that.
Yes, you've already thrown that out the door just from that greeting. Reed Charles is back for the 27th episode. This is actually like four in a row for you.
What up, bitches?
Yeah,
you were here. I'm gonna go ahead and just set you up a room in the house now.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, you get you
got, have a place in Austin.
Guests, we have guests from downstairs. We'll just go ahead and
in the
start,
garage.
I'll start moving in the Chewbacca.
Oh god,
posters and life-size Chewbacca doll and.
What was that? That's the price I gotta pay, I guess.
Well, we're here. I'm Stephen Presley, your host, and we'll run the theme music, and then I've got some. I've already announced this on social media, but not the best of news. It's really hard, actually, to even do this episode today. But we'll make kind of give you some bad news here in a minute. Of course, that's not the most exciting way to go into the theme song, but here we go.
Okay, I lied.
Thunder Pop! Thunder Pop! Thunder Pop! Oh, Thunder Pop!
And we are back. So many of people that have... Well, not many people, but the few of you...
Three people that listen.
That listen to this podcast have come to know maybe that we had kind of a mascot for the show, sort of a sidekick. And we have two dogs in the household. One of the dogs has been with me since 2008, Gus the Pug. And I posted pictures on him on the Thunder Pop Instagram and on the Thunder Pop Facebook. Well, Gus the Pug has not been doing too well since September. And he passed away one day after Christmas. Last time Reed saw him, he was over here recording the Rogue One reaction show, and he could see that he was not doing well. Yeah, we were trying to get him to eat that day, and things were not going well. Man, Gus, to the very end, was a trooper and just quite a fighter. I got Gus. He was rescued, actually. My sister-in-law found him on the railroad tracks.
What?
It's almost like a runaway, little runaway dog jumping trains. Found him on the railroad tracks in 2007. And outside of the town they used to live in, and they had kept him for a little bit, kind of as a foster care. And I took him over. I'd always wanted a pug ever since the first Men in Black movie, that yeah. character in Men in Black, that the talking alien in the pug's body was one of my favorite characters. And that dog, I think, ended up passing away before they made the last movie. And they did a dedication to him in that movie, since the original pug that was in the, you know, Men in Black 1 and I think Men in Black 2, that they had a picture of him on the wall.
Wasn't he an agent? I think he was an agent.
He was an agent. So yeah. They had a picture of him on the wall, kind of in Will Smith's headquarters his condo. And they had a big picture of him in the back. And so I'm going to do the same thing for Gus, where I'm going to get a picture made of him and then put it in the bedroom over my dresser. So, like, when I go to bed, that's going to be like I can look up and see Gus kind of looking down on me. So I'm either going to get a photo blown up, or I'm going to get some artwork done, and kind of like a pop style, pop art, where it's, you know, got all the colors and stuff, and kind of comic booky, with like a big rays coming out of them or something cool like that. So I'm going to do that. It's going to be tribute, and then I'm going to have a little party, a Gus party.
Next weekend.
And they make a Gus soda, a soda called Gus.
What?
Yeah. And they used to sell it at HEB, but I think now the only way I can get it is I have to order it online. Mm-hmm. And it's called Gus Soda. And it's It stands for something. The initials, it stands for something. But I'm gonna have Gus Soda at the party, and then we're gonna have breakfast tacos because. So I used to sell breakfast tacos out of a cooler, go around office buildings, and this was one of my hustles, as Jazz One would say, he calls it one of my hustles was I'd go around office buildings and I would sell breakfast tacos out of a cooler. It was a great side hustle, by the way,
and I was being a gigolo too, though.
And being a gigolo, that was another side hustle. But those are
man whore.
Different day, different time. No, not true. Not true. Hey, my wife's downstairs. So she might hear this. Anyway, yeah.
That's how y'all met. No, okay.
No, not true.
Met at hired you. He's like, I love you. Marry me. He's like, all right.
Wrong. Like Donald Trump in the debates. Wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I just sell tacos out of a cooler. And sometimes I'd have some tacos left. And I'd take them home. Because, like, you know, I could...
Guess what, eat them?
Chow on those.
Yeah.
I could chow on those later. If I'd eat them for dinner. I'd heat them up again and eat them for dinner. And, well, Gus, that he loved the smell. I mean, he was just... And so there would be a few times where I turned around. If I left him out for too long...
He's munching on
him? He was munching on him. And he would even be trying to eat the foil that they were wrapped. Like, because he loved the smell and the flavors so much. And so I always said that breakfast tacos were... And he... So even if I'd come home with a bag of them... Again, another day, he would start acting like a fiend where you just brought this
grease.
You bring his crack, you know.
Delicious.
So his favorite table food was breakfast tacos. So we're going to have breakfast tacos and Gus soda.
Nice.
At the Gus party. But rest in peace. He's you know, he's my best bud.
Yeah, man. The coolest story you told me about him is that when you had that apartment.
Uh-huh.
And you told me.
The old place, yeah.
Hey, Reed, Gus talks to me.
And you said,
yeah, he floats. He floats in the air and he talks to me. I was like, really? Like, you like Yoda? He goes, yeah, like Yoda.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking awesome, dude.
And Gus, especially as he got older, he looked more and more like Yoda.
Yes, he did.
Because the face got wrinklier and the ears got more of like kind of the shape of Yoda. And so, yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing when you told me. I was like, what?
That was funny. Yeah.
What the fuck?
And it's true. It's a true story.
It's a true story.
He floated and
he talked to you.
I'm still waiting for his hologram, like from the other side, to come and talk to me. But it's going to happen. If you, like Yoda did.
In wait a minute.
For Luke.
So is after you met Gus, you started cleaning up. So he's the one that he did talk to you.
Yeah.
You need to stop being a whore.
What are you talking about?
He would tell you those things. When he would tell you, he would tell you, stop being a whore.
Oh, trying to tell me that I can stay out of trouble?
Stay out of trouble? Is that what you're
doing? None of this is true, by the way. This is all Reed just having to... We've already fed the Reed.
Feed the Reed.
Stop being a whore.
This is so wrong. This is so, so wrong. Wrong.
Love you, wrong. Gus.
Love you, Gus. This clip... episode, one of the earliest episodes, one of the earlier episodes with Johnny Lightfoot, and we were having a problem because the dogs were either outside the door and barking and squealing and whining, or I would let them in the room, the studio, and in the Thunderpop Dome, and they would start running around under the tables, and they were making all this noise, and the cords were moving, causing
a mess,
unplugging stuff. So it was either leave them outside in the hallway, or they would start barking. Or I was going to have to let them in. And so I decided what we came up with is the idea. It's a bunch of junk in here. So I built this barricade. And that was supposed to keep them out. But then this happened.
Pop.
First time we ever recorded with the door open. Nervous if that works. The dogs. So we had a couple episodes where I tried different things with the dogs. Where I had kept them downstairs and I put a gate up. And they barked and they squealed and they pounded their paws on the wall, and they basically ruined the audio of about three podcasts. So this time around, I decided I'm going to give them free range. I left the door open in the studio. I'm letting them walk around, kind of mingle. And let's see how that goes. Studio. That's what you get. Is that right there when you allow for such tomfoolery. Gus, come here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. And then the other one, I had to basically give her sedatives. She's on melatonin right now, and it's not working because she's pawing me. This may be over really quickly, and we may have him back downstairs behind a gate. Anyway, yeah, we're going to call Patrick up here in 1 second. We'll be right back while I figure out a neighbor to pawn the dogs off on for a little bit. And we are back on Thunder Pop. We took a little bit of a break. I built a barrier in the studio, kind of a wall that's made of a clipboard, my camera, Amazon Prime box, a box of CDs, a laptop bag, 2 white filing cabinets, a pillow, a tripod stand, boombox. So the dogs are like on one side of this wall, kind of looking at them over across the way. And it's the Great Wall of Thunder Pop. And the dogs are, because they were starting to kind of skip and try to run through where we had cables, and it was making a lot of noise. And he did. I have a pug. He's 16 years old. He's going to be 16 on February 1st. He's an elderly pug. And I built this barrier specifically for him, thinking, oh, he doesn't jump anymore. And he just jumped the barrier, and he made it across the Great Wall of Thunder Pop. I don't know what to do. It's just nothing's going to work. These dogs are going to own this podcast again. All right.
Another little story to tell you. Although it seems silly to talk about poo-poo, what you gonna do? It must be told about my little pug puppy, Mama's old. Cutest little thing that you ever seen. Lick your face like you was hogging Dad's ice cream. Know what I mean? My little pug is kicking. Eating everything like it was fried chicken. Licking my toothpaste, licking toilet paper. He even tried to chew up my brand new stapler. But I ain't mad, I said I'm glad he loves me. I just wish he wasn't so damn hungry. Funny how he eats it all up. His stomach is filled up. I say, yo, what's up?
You wanna Gus go the pug, the mirror, the wonder pug. Yeah, man. Impressive, right? A 16-year-old jumping over a barricade like that?
He floated over it.
He floated over the Gus the Pug. He was born in 2000, made it 2016. He almost made it to 7. His birthday would have been February 1st. Hot topic right now on the web, and we've been talking a lot of Star Wars lately, but there's been a lot of Star Wars to talk. The passing of Carrie Fisher, speaking of passings that happened at the end of the year,
yeah.
We also lost, kind of 2016 gave us the last one big fuck you at the end, took Gus from us, and then also took Carrie Fisher, and then one day later her mom, Debbie Reynolds, passed away. So it was like going back to back on us at the end of the year. And then, of course, there was George Michael, too, just right before that on Christmas Day. But Carrie Fisher passed away. She had the stroke, and then a few days later, first it was a stroke, then she was like in critical condition, then she was supposedly in stable condition.
Yeah, she was in an airplane.
Thought, oh, she's going to make it. When I heard stable condition, we dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
And then she died.
That's when we started talking about, like, man, what about her in Star Wars 8 and 9? And that's when they started coming out and saying, no, everything she filmed in episode 9 was done. I was like, oh, good. Okay. So she's okay. She's let her survive, let her recover, and she can come back for 9. But nope.
And we all knew she had already finished her work on 8.
Yeah, all done.
But that 9 was well into pre-production.
Yeah, yeah.
But was not started filming yet. She had not filmed anything for 9 yet. So obviously it's been a big buzz thing on the internet the last few days. So first, we want to pay our respects to the Fisher family and Carrie Fisher's friends and family. We were very saddened by the news. But now, like Star Wars fans are going to do, they're like, how is this going to impact the series going forward? And that's the question. So there, a lot of people are like, how will it change the outcome of 8? Will it? Will it lead to a different game plan for 9? Because they already had a script, working script for 9 already put together. We're going to dial up Johnny Lightfoot from Boy Wonder Broadcasting.
I have faith that they'll be able to figure out what to do with that, because they've done so well so far, except for episode 7. I don't really like that one, but... You know, I think they'll figure it out. If they, like I was telling you before, if they were able to pull out all of EU stuff, all the comics and stories, and insert their new novels and their new comics, they'll fix this.
You know, they had an article that came up on Movie Web today.
Breaking news up in this place.
Leia may be cut from Star Wars 8. Bullshit. New scenes leaked details. So yeah, immediately this came up on Facebook.
That's bullshit.
I like to go read the thread, because you read everybody's comments and then you start to see the nerds fighting and getting all worked up, and then the trolls trolling.
I did. I got worked up. And you bullshit.
I see Reed at the top of the thread.
This fucking bullshit.
And you said Lucas.
No, I said this is fucking bullshit Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
The idea of them, I'm sure it's just all rumor, but the idea that they're even considering a pulling her out of the movie, that kind of pissed me off.
Now, here's what it said. It said, there has been a lot of speculation and rumors following the untimely death of actress Carrie Fisher in regards to what will happen with the main Star Wars saga. Princess Leia, who is now a general in the Resistance, General Leia, is said to have a much larger role in Star Wars Episode 8. An even more expanded role in Star Wars Episode 9. She wasn't in 7 a lot.
She's in the background.
She was in the background, but she was in some key scenes. Mm-hmm. So it goes on to say that 2 key scenes involving General Leia have now been revealed as Lucasfilm attempts to move forward without one of their most important characters. Star Wars 9 was deep into pre-production when Carrie Fisher passed. And director Colin Trevorrow, who was also director of Jurassic World, who takes over the Force Awakens trilogy from directors J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson for this final installment, had already written his script. Now, what is being called the Lucasfilm Brain Trust is planning to meet, you know, it'd be like Kathleen Kennedy and, you know, obviously the directors and writers. Now, what is being called the Lucasfilm Brain Trust is planning to meet and figure out just how Leia's future will unfold without Carrie Fisher. In this latest report, it was revealed that General Leia is at the heart of 2 very important scenes that stretch between 8 and 9.
God.
So, The Hollywood Reporter has revealed that Leia's 2 most important scenes in the next 2 chapters of the Force Awakens trilogy, but now there is a chance that these scenes may be cut, as of right now, it's not clear how Rian Johnson is going to move forward with the sequel, which wrapped last year. Of course, this is all speculation.
It's speculation, exactly.
And I mean, do they even know?
No.
How do they know that this meeting was even happening? Was it publicly posted somewhere?
Exactly.
Disney's not going to make an announcement like, well, we're meeting today to talk about how we're going to handle the Carrie Fisher thing. Mm-hmm. You remember when Harrison Ford had the broken leg and episode 7 filming? And there was a big freak out about that. And everybody was paranoid and saying, oh, they were going to have to reshoot a bunch of scenes because he's not in this movie as much.
Well, they took a couple of months off,
because he took a couple of months off, and to get the movie out.
They shot around him,
By the date, people were freaking out on the web saying, oh, they're going to have to replace him with one of the other actors for some of the scenes. Mm-hmm. They were talking about, there was even speculation that they would use Poe Dameron more and fill him in places where Han Solo was supposed to be and things like that. But by the time we saw the movie, you couldn't even really tell.
No, I couldn't tell.
That there was a difference.
But this is different where, General Organa actually dies. Carrie Fisher actually passes away. So
in real life,
So how are they going to do that in the film? I was already thinking, like, are they going to give her a glorious death? Are they going to give her, And
was she going to be killed off to begin with?
Right, exactly. Was she going to be killed off to begin with?
Because you read some speculation on the web. Some people said there was going to probably be a pattern where they were going to take out one of each of the three in each movie.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to go on to Johnny Lightfoot. We've got him dialed up. Johnny, hey, it's good to have you, man. Happy New Year to you.
Y'all as well.
So we're talking already about Carrie Fisher. It's been kind of the buzz topic on the web the last few days. First, you know, mourning her death, obviously, and recognizing her life and as a writer and as an actor, as an outspoken and very funny humorist. But now, before they've even buried her, the kind of Star Wars fans have shifted gears, and there's all this speculation now on how it's going to impact Star Wars Episode 8 and 9. And I hate to be so rushed to be automatically automatically speculating on how it affects us as Star Wars fans and Star Wars watchers. Yeah. But we're there. We're doing it. So, you know, now we're going to go ahead and jump in the pile of everyone else and kind of ask the same questions and kind of try to cipher through this. Now, it's funny because I recalled immediately an episode where we had discussion about looking forward to Episode 8 and how you've always called things right on the nose. You said Han Solo was going to go in Episode 7, and then you said Luke Skywalker. You've pretty much said all along that you expected at some point Luke Skywalker was going to go and I think even as early as Episode 8 you thought there would be a chance that Luke would go. And then I remember that conversation we had in that earlier episode where you said, you know, I think the one that's going to make it all the way through is Princess Leia of the originals, not obviously the new young generation, but of the originals. But now with this change in events,
right?
Does that change?
So yeah, I mean, I would say just with the digital capture and everything, I would probably just limit the role of General Leia in Episode 9. You know, maybe keep it a limited role, and then, you know, if you're going to kill her, probably do it early on. That would be my taste, just because I wasn't a big fan of Tarkin. Granted, that's, you know, we're still almost 3 years off from Episode 9, so it will probably get better by then.
Yeah.
Losing her, because out of all of them, outside of, you know, her outside life, I really thought Harrison was going to be the one to go first.
In terms of real life?
Yeah, in real life. Oh, wow. So, okay. You know, I that's also a reason I wasn't surprised they got rid of him in 7.
Was it because of age? Because he being older? That you would think that?
I would say age, yeah, because she was the youngest of the big three.
Yeah, that's right. She was.
She was. He was only 19 and or 18 in A New Hope.
Yeah, he was like 10 years older than her, I
think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Harrison was already 30 by then.
Oh, 20. Jeez.
So over 10 years.
Over 10 years.
Okay. He's a senior. And plus, he was the one that had all these near-death experiences already because he had the plane crash. He had an accident while filming in Force Awakens that postponed his work on the movie for a couple of months. So I remember we even made that, we referenced that on an earlier episode too, where we talked about how nervous we all were that they were all three going to make it through the filming of all three movies. And then now, well, here we are already.
Damn it.
With one of the senior characters, you know, passing.
I would hope that they would have, hey Johnny.
Hey, how's it going?
I would hope that they would probably give her, you know, some fitting way of having her character die off somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That's I have no idea. You know, besides what she did as in this, the movies, she was a script doctor. She was a She was a script doctor and a writer. Mm-hmm. That's what she did, and I think because her real full time job was that.
Yeah. So she had contributed that even on the Star Wars films.
She might have.
She might have. Yeah. She may have.
She definitely did. If you go in, there's actually images of the original Star Wars script of her script doctoring of it, where she's just going in on George's script with a red pen, and it looks like a middle school teacher just went through your English paper and just completely wrecked your thing, because you can see like little she'll X out something and then write something different, and then she'll like arrow down to like a little comment where she'll say like, what was your reasoning for having this person say this? And whoa, the lines she ended up crossing out and she wrote in new lines are 90% of the ones that ended up going in.
Wait, she did that in New Hope?
Yes.
Holy crap. So she was an English major before any of this?
Well, holy crap.
And if you think about it, I didn't know that. Thanks, Johnny. That gives her more credibility.
If you think about it, at the point in time where A New Hope was being filmed in 1976,
yeah,
after Alec Guinness and after Harrison Ford had already done a couple of films, mm-hmm, she would have been third in line in seniority in terms of the actors there on the set.
Because, oh, okay.
If you go, because Mark Hamill, I think, would have been at that point, I think he's below. Yeah.
He was raw. He was raw. He was very fresh. He had not done much in Hollywood. And her, you know, her being Hollywood royalty, she
exactly
grew up in the studios.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Because of the lineage of her being Debbie
her
Reynolds,
father and mother.
Debbie Reynolds, and her father being in a, mm-hmm, from Hollywood royalty, I think he would have been more like okay, she's a big deal.
So she really did have some serious talent there. I had no idea that.
Out of the big three, her and George were actually the closest.
Really?
So out of the three, yeah, she was the only one that probably would have been able to go in and tell him, no, you're wrong on this. I think we should do it this way.
Wow.
And that's also why even later, she was the only one out of the three. I mean, Harrison would bash Lucas kind of on the background, mm-hmm, in interviews and whatnot.
Yeah.
Carrie was never afraid to tell him what he did wrong in front of his face.
No, she would. And she had a way of doing it,
yeah,
where you could sort of like, okay, that's kind of funny and it's kind of endearing at the same time.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, she roasted him on one time when he was receiving some award.
I saw that.
She was the one who presented it and she roasted him.
It was hilarious.
Carrie Fisher. Hi, I'm Mrs. Han Solo and I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because George Lucas ruined my life. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. 57 years ago, I did his little Star Wars film, a cult film that then went on to redefine what they laughingly refer to as the face of cinema. And now, 65 years later, people are still asking me if I knew it was going to be that big of a hit. Yes, I knew. We all knew. The only one who didn't know was George. We kept it from him because we wanted to see what his face looked like when it changed expression. George is a sadist. But like any abused child wearing a metal bikini changed to a giant slug about to die, I keep coming back for more. Only a man like George could bring us whole new worlds, populated by vivid, extraordinary characters, and providing Mark and Harrison and myself with enough fan mail and even a small, merry band of stalkers. It's lovely, keeping us entertained for the rest of our unnatural lives. George, the fact that you made me into a little doll that my first husband could stick pins into, a shampoo bottle where people could twist my head off and pour liquid out of my neck, lather up with Leia and you'll feel like a princess yourself. And yes, the little Pez dispenser so that my daughter Billy could pull my head back and pull a wafer out of my neck every time she doesn't want to do her homework. I suppose I don't mind. And though amongst your many possessions you have owned my likeness, lo, all these years, so that every time I look in the mirror, I have to send you a check for a couple of bucks. To mention you had the unmitigated gall to let that chick, the new girl who plays my mother, Queen Amadillo, or whatever her name is, she wears a new hairstyle and outfit practically every time she walks through a door. I mean, I bet she even got to wear a bra, even though you told me I couldn't because there was no underwear in space.
She was a comedian. She really was. And we sat here and we've made jokes, Carrie Fisher jokes on this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've joked about her. It's like, oh, her acting, you know, how her acting wasn't up to par on Force Awakens. What she contributes as a writer, a humorist, and a roaster, a comedian. She was really a comedian. I mean, she could get up there in front of an audience, and she was as funny as any comedian out there. You know that I've.
Oh yeah, and she was also the only one who, when they put out Blu-ray comedies, she's the only actor in the Star Wars series that actually went and did commentaries with George.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. And she's been in a few. She was in the Blues Brothers movie.
That was good. I like that.
Yeah, she worked on a movie with Tom Hanks, so she had some
the Burbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had M16. I think it was M16 she was holding.
And I certainly think if she had acted more, her acting resume was kind of spotty. That her acting,
well, yeah, and she had her personal demons. Yeah. And one of the favorite things that I heard from somebody who actually did a panel with her where they took audience questions, and he told the story about how when she got on stage and was taking audience questions after they had done the panel, several young women, and including, you know, preteens and young girls, basically stood up. One of them was even dressed as Princess Leia and said, "Hey, you know, I go through depression and bipolar, all those things. And Princess Leia is one of, you know, the ways I get through it, just seeing how strong you are." And it's kind of funny that Carrie Fisher went through the same thing, and her dealing with those demons kind of was able to have her kind of bring forth that and pull the opposite. You know, you feel like nobody cares about you, that you're weak, and then she was able to create this strong female lead. And you had never seen that. We wouldn't have had Ripley or Sarah Connor without Princess Leia.
Yeah,
it's very true. It's very true. And I just looked a little bit at her on Empire Strikes Back, and that was by far, I think, her best turn as Princess Leia in all the Star Wars movies. It was really good.
She was in charge.
He actually had a director there to work
a
with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, George, we love you in the universe that you created, but didn't always find your directing right on par with some of the greats. But now here's the question for you, Johnny. So we're talking about how you were speculating how they could work this through episode 9. Of course, we don't know a lot about episode 8. In fact, Lucasfilm and Disney have kept it very mysterious, even more than they did with episode 7. They've kept it pretty, you know, kind of quiet and mysterious up to this point. We'll get a trailer soon, you know.
In the summer?
Summer or spring.
They came out and said spring, more than likely Star Wars Celebration, which is in April.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So not that far off. But here's the thing. Did this, in your mind, potentially flip things? Does this save Luke Skywalker? Do you think they will maybe spare him because of the fact that now they might have to kill off Princess Leia?
They could. Because, I mean, from what I've heard, they have no plans on putting any sort of hiatus on the episodes after 9.
Mm-hmm.
So with Mark Hamill obviously being in the best health out of all of them.
Yeah.
And then especially like leading up to 8, him kind of getting in shape and whatnot. And he hasn't exactly had the most grueling career. I mean, most of his stuff has been voice work. So it's not like he's been out there pounding the pavement.
Like Harrison Ford.
Correct.
He's been doing all these stunts for years and...
Getting beat up.
They might, you know, change it up and have him even continue on into 10, 11, 12. Who knows?
Yeah. And
I would think background, you know, he won't be star, but.
Yeah.
But like Alec Guinness and the New Hope.
That's what I'm
thinking. Yeah, somebody, yeah, exactly. You know, Ray can kind of confer with and look to for guidance and mentorship.
And Yoda in Empire Strikes Back, kind of in that role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if it's a Force ghost, he can, you know, you can continue doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be overly construed, because the actor, you would assume that that Mark Hamill would still be available to do those, so they could still be very, you know, spontaneous with his dialogue and, mm-hmm. and what they come up with.
The thing I'm afraid of is that they're going to CGI Carrie Fisher. The problem with that, you know, like they did Princess Leia at the end of Rogue One.
Yeah.
That was okay. That I could forgive that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, for example,
it's one shot.
Exactly.
It's one shot.
But when you have like the woman that played Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
It looks identical to her like she was younger.
They found
an excellent
actress.
Right. Perfect.
And it was amazing.
It was amazingly
accurate.
I don't know
how they did that, but right. They did it.
So that's if you can find an actress that's. I think the reason why we're okay with the actress replacing Mon Mothma is because Mon Mothma wasn't really that big of a star.
Yeah, no. So it sort of worked.
You don't notice the difference. Yeah. Right. So, but for Princess Leia, we know her face so well, like it takes you out. And then Tarkin too, the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now Tarkin was a little different because he actually had more of a presence than Princess Leia did.
Yeah.
But there's two characters there that are CGI. It's like, is this the future? Unfortunately, it probably is. So I hope they do not do that to Carrie Fisher's character. I don't want to see that.
And they've got, that's one of the things that of all the people that loved Rogue One, the one thing that everybody sort of still said, we weren't a big fan of what they did with the CGI.
But I'll forgive it.
You know,
I'll forgive it, but I don't like it, but they had no other choice.
Now, what I do see, I think we could all foresee, it's probably going to get better at some point.
It will, but still, it's like, yeah, their image belongs to the companies, and they can do anything they want with it.
Yeah,
but that's
no,
damn.
Sucks. And they've got Carrie Fisher's daughter already had filmed 8. She's on the set, so
yeah.
the family contact or connection is still there.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
You know, it's still in the family. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, you know, and she was supposedly, her role is expanded from what I read.
Her real daughter, okay.
Is expanded in 8, and I think it was even going to be expanded even more in 9, from what I've been reading.
Well, it sounds like it's going to probably replace, probably.
So you wonder. Then there's always like, if they had something planned for Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia in 9, could mm-hmm. someone else step in and fill that spot? Because my, you know, speculation, the reason why she was going to be so important to 8 and 9 is because of her being the mother of the main mm-hmm. protagonist, Kylo Ren.
Hmm. Like a major mama beat your ass down?
Kind of something along those lines. I mean, what do you think, Johnny? That seems like the connection there to this is that her facing her son on screen.
Well, I think if they're going to do that, I had a feeling it was going to happen in 8.
Yeah.
Hmm. Gosh, it's tough because I really thought out of all of them, she was going to make it through to the end. So yeah. It's a really different situation, and it's something the studio is going to have to like really sit down and think about over the next year before, you know, you start jumping into 9, is what kind of rewrites do we need to do?
And
what are the scenes we have with her that we need to kind of maybe cut down so that if it is a CG or a lookalike, you know, maybe it's not as noticeable if we just make it instead of, you know, 3 minutes, we make it a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could cover up that way.
And here's the thing. I know you said you were really comfortable with where 8 was probably going to possibly be going under Ryan Johnson's.
Weren't they going to go darker with it? More political?
More darker. I think that, and Johnny said he was very confident in Ryan Johnson's abilities to be able to execute a really solid offering for episode 8. But I know what you said your concern was in episode 9, because you wasn't sure about Colin Trevorrow, the Jurassic World director. And now he gets this big curveball thrown at him.
I know.
So you're wondering, boom. Just top things
they
off.
They might, who knows, they might take him out and put some other director in there? I don't know, maybe.
I don't think so, because he's working really closely with Ryan Johnson for the script on episode 9. So Ryan Johnson's having a lot of input, very similar to what JJ did with Ryan as he was passing it off from 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really similar handoff. So I wouldn't be surprised if after the holiday break they went right into Ryan Johnson and Colin Trevorrow, like sitting down and looking at the script and kind of going over what they can do feasibly and what they can do that's going to be good. Because obviously in a standalone like Rogue One, you're not expecting the best. It's nice when it happens, but you're not expecting it. But yeah, with these episodes, you really want, you know, a game. And so you don't want a scene in there that's going to throw you off. Granted, we've come a really long way from where we were when they first started doing this, you know, face capture stuff, you know, with Jeff Bridges in the Tron movie a couple of years ago.
That's pretty, yeah. His glowing face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Tron Legacy.
I mean, I have faith that between having Ryan Johnson there and then also I think Kathleen Kennedy, I think she makes fantastic choices, and I don't think she would do, especially as big as she is on female protagonists and strong women characters, I don't think she would do anything that would potentially tarnish the legacy of Princess Leia.
See, that's what I was concerned about. Yeah.
Like, there's been some people, the biggest fears on the web right now are they're going to cut her out completely.
Bullshit, yeah. I don't want that happening.
They're going to CGI like they did with Rogue One, and it's not going to look great.
Don't want that either.
So there's in that room where the Lucasfilm Brain Trust is there, and you've got Ryan Johnson, and you've got Colin Trevorrow in that room. We've got, those are the people that are in that room. Who else is in there, you think, right now? Do you think there's a chance they may have to pull somebody else in to get some more ideas? Do you think
like George Lucas?
Even George Lucas? But I was going to go more the route of J.J. Abrams, where he might even have they might have to bring back J.J. to, because they want to get as many ideas in that bucket before they move forward with something. Do you think that's possible, Johnny?
I don't know about J.J., because my understanding is he and Carrie had a good working relationship, but they weren't necessarily close.
Yeah.
Whereas her and Lucas were actually very close.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think Lucas would do it? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he would. Yeah.
But I would probably pull in even people like James Luceno, some of the novel writers.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, they might have ideas, you know, some of these novel writers that have been writing this character, they might have some ideas as to, all right, if we want to give her a Han Solo-esque Obi-Wan type send-off, we want to make this character mean something as much as she's meant to so many people. How can we do that respectfully, but make the movie as a whole still good?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a book written, wasn't there a novel that's a canon with Princess Leia? I think
there's multiple. I mean, in the second Aftermath book, that's her dealing with the political struggles.
There you go, that's what I was talking about.
So what do you think
and
is
that's
more?
Where we're,
oh, go ahead.
That's where we're leading into episode 8, is basically her, she actually, from what I've understood, is the scenes she shot for episode 8 are more extensive than what she got in episode 7.
Yeah.
Because it's her having to deal with that type of stuff where she's like
they
one
find
of the
out,
highest ranking people left.
Because they find out that her father's Darth Vader and said, oh, hell no. Yeah, the whole shit is a fan after that.
So do you think there's eight, maybe they keep 8 intact. They don't have to change anything in 8, just hypothetically speaking. We don't know where that ends. What the cliffhanger is going to be there. That's kind of where the big question mark is. Mm-hmm. What do you think the more likely scenario is, Johnny? Do you think they have to make a significant change in the plot and the course of episode 9? Or do you think that scenario is possible? That they may be doing that?
9, possible. Because I don't even think their script is 100% yet anyways.
Yeah.
So it's a little easier. The only thing you really have to deal with is, so reshoots are probably going to happen late spring, early summer.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any reshoots involving any scene that she shot, you're probably going to have them pull a Paul Walker via Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
And basically do a lot of like cutaways from her.
Yeah. They just have to.
Because it's much easier to duplicate a voice than it is to duplicate a face.
Well, they did that in the Fast and the Furious. They use his brother, and they just...
they use his brother as a stand-in body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they just overlaid his face if he wasn't speaking. Mm-hmm. But they also used him if, like, the character was turning away or something. Basically, they would rewrite scenes to the point where you could have it to where maybe the you hear the voice, but the character is not facing the camera.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance that Kylo Ren's turned to the light side in this trilogy?
Oh, it could be because of that, maybe. That'd be a good twist, yeah.
You think that's in the cards, Johnny?
To redeem himself.
To redeem, like, somehow
it's possible, but I think a lot of people don't think it could be a redemption story simply because what he did in 7.
He went too far. It'd be hard to go back at this point.
If it ends up any way like what happened to the Solo son that went to the dark side in the old EU books?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He never ended up turning back to the light side.
And that's sort of the, they're borrowing a lot. I mean, look, I've been reading about the Han Solo movie, and there's a lot of borrow from the
EU. Is that what you heard?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're cherry picking things. They're not going in timeline consistent, but they are, and they're not taking everything. But they're taking some things here and there, like characters and ideas and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, because I remember reading that whole book series over the I think it came out over the course of like a year and a half or so. And the whole series, I kept thinking, oh, they're just redoing Anakin. You know, they're going to end up bringing him back. Mm-hmm. But in the end, they ended up kind of not. So they might do that because I know a lot of people, fans, kind of consider what he did to his dad in 7 as irreversible. You can't bring that back.
I've felt that too. Yeah, I've had that hunch. It's like, it's hard to go back now and try to make him come back and be completely, you know, not unless he's in his deathbed like Darth Vader. And then at that point, it's sort of a kind of a moment of...
Well, that I think that's the ultimate, like... You never come back as when you kill a family member.
Yeah.
No, that's... That's you're going to hell for that.
That's, you know, just the lowest of low.
That's the lowest of lows.
The darkest of dark.
The dark of dark. Yeah, you can't kill a family member and expect everyone to be redeeming you. No.
Well, what if that family member tried to kill you and it was self-defense?
Well, that's different.
It's different. Okay.
But
I'm playing devil's advocate.
Because like Darth Vader came back to the good side by saving his son.
See, yeah, exactly. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Kylo Ren's lost.
So it's like we can forget that he cut people in half, slashed off people's lips. You know. We can forgive that because he died saving his son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a last moment of redemption at the end.
Like, I'm the only one that beats my child, not you. That kind of thing.
Yeah, basically is what happened. Oh, man. Hey, Johnny, it's certainly not the subject matter that we wanted to have to cover and tackle at the first of the year, but... well, I'm glad we had you here for insight, and I think it was definitely some interesting points that we were able to kind of bring up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, again, Happy New Year, and I look forward to having you back in soon. I've already got eight subjects for 8 episodes planned for the new year.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely plenty to talk about for 2017.
Yeah, a lot going on. We were talking. I mean, we almost did an episode just downstairs talking before we actually started recording. Yeah. So we'll look forward to talking to you very soon.
Good talking to you, Johnny.
All right, Reed. Steven, been good.
Johnny, may the Force be with you.
Always.
So there you go. Johnny Lightfoot chiming in on his thoughts on the whole matter of where we see episodes going forward now without Carrie Fisher. All right, we're going to take a short little pause so I can belch fart. And then we're going to come back. And we got to feed the reed.
Feed the reed.
Oh, man. Already?
Yeah. And then also, Reed's going to give us an update on his search across the state.
Comic book world.
Following up on the comic book world for Star Wars comics.
Star Wars comics. Continue my hunt. Yeah.
So we'll be right back.
It's been a year.
Yeah. Un momento. Yeah, I've been on it for a while.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? Stormtrooper? Laser brain. Stormtrooper, laser brain. I don't know who you are or where
of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take it away!
Punch a little short for Stormtrooper. Punch a little short for Stormtrooper. Punch a little short for Stormtrooper. Stormtrooper, laser brain. I don't know where you get your delusions. Punch a little short for Stormtrooper. Punch a little short for Stormtrooper.
Yeah, yes. More subdued version of that today, of the yay is still of course mourning the loss of Gus the Pug, so not as my 100% self today, but I'm here and I'm enjoying the company of Reed Charles, believe it or not. If you can believe it or not.
I think Gus would have wanted you to keep going, man.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a Jedi himself, so he knows the importance of.
He brought you from the dark side.
He did. He did. No. Wrong. Wrong.
He saved your life.
You know, of all the tomfoolery, of all the stuff that happened in the presidential election, you have to admit it's kind of funny when in the debates.
Wrong.
Wrong. It's kind of funny. It's kind of makes you cry too, but it's kind of funny. It's like a big kid there going, telling his sister, he's having a fight with his sister, and he's telling, wrong.
Totally interrupted her.
Yeah. So, we got to feed the reed.
Feed the reed.
In episode, we're talking about episode 7, Star Wars.
Oh, that's what's his name?
They had a Peter Mayhew, who's public enemy number one. So, if you know.
Number one on my shit list.
If you know, sort of backstory, Reed Charles had a run-in with Peter Mayhew at a show.
Yeah.
Peter Mayhew was rude to Reed.
Very rude.
Reed went there to try to pay his
my respects.
Respect.
I was trying to.
To a favorite of his and got kind of dissed by Peter Mayhew. Mm-hmm. So ever since then, Peter Mayhew has been on his shit list. And since then, on that same shit list, Anthony Daniels has been added to that shit list.
Yep.
For the his trying to refuse wearing the red arm.
That's fucking horse shit.
And if you've heard that story from Reed, now.
Didn't
that? Well, here's the thing. Force Awakens, Peter Mayhew, bad knees, right?
He can't walk.
Yes, so, yeah, so a lot walk. Of the scenes that were with Chewbacca standing up,
mainly yes,
was this young actor.
Yeah,
okay, the young actor Orlando Parfit he's actually a basketball player.
Oh, wow,
European basketball player. He's just a little bit shorter than Peter Mayhew.
Really,
much younger though. So he was able to do the action scenes with Chewbacca. Mm-hmm. Okay, with that being said, because a lot of your strife that is directed towards Peter Mayhew became strife against Chewbacca.
Yes, it did.
And there's all the funny like stuff back and forth between you and our friends Judson and
Jeff. It's a lot of fun.
They send you a lot of crap about Chewbacca because they know you've got your issues. But now
I have an entire collection of artwork of Chewbacca dying.
Because of this.
Because of this, yeah.
Because of the way
beautiful
you were disrespected by Peter Mayhew.
Yes.
It became a thing for you, a pleasure to see Chewbacca's death.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the question now. This young guy has never done anything to you that was playing Chewbacca, sharing the
that job. Has yet to be seen.
He's sharing the job now with Peter Mayhew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another person we haven't even talked about is Peter Mayhew getting up there in the years.
Yeah.
He's getting up there in the years. He's not going to be around with us forever. Yeah. So at some point you would think, especially because they're making the Han Solo prequel.
He can't be around for that.
I don't think they're, because, well, plus they're going to want the younger version of Chewbacca that they can get.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that Orlando Parfit's probably going to do the Chewbacca in the Han Solo movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sure he got the gig already. Because he did it in Force Awakens. Did a great job in Force Awakens. You couldn't tell the difference.
He's got the same mannerisms. He walks the same. He moves the same. You know.
Yeah.
So he nailed it. He did a pretty good job. Yeah.
So I'm sure he's got the job going forward.
I would hope so.
If something were to happen to Peter Mayhew tomorrow.
I'd be a little sad, but yeah.
Yeah. Then this guy's got ready to go. This is a much easier issue to solve than the Carrie Fisher issue.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I have artwork that's going to increase in value.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we're probably going to see Chewbacca around for several more movies.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my question. If that's the case, and this young actor takes over Chewbacca, would Chewbacca suddenly be cool again?
Yes,
you?
He would.
And you wouldn't hate on him as much.
I wouldn't hate
would
him
as much. Would you stop like lusting over Death of Chewbacca artwork?
I would burn those artwork pieces that I have.
Because everything would have been made right.
Yeah, the Force would have had an equilibrium, yes. There would be a balance in the Force.
There'd be a balance in the Force. The Force, I'm one with the Force.
The Force is with me.
The Force is with me, yes.
I'm one with the Force.
Okay,
the Force
now, got to give us an update. Reed has been on it over a year now.
Yeah. Nerd World.
Yeah. Combing the state of Texas.
Nerd! Oh, nerd! 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 Nerd!
Yes. You haven't ventured out of Texas.
No.
To get...
No need, because everything's in Texas.
You're collecting Star Wars comic books.
Yes.
And your pursuit has been to get every single comic book of Star Wars?
Yes.
That was ever made.
Everything that's in the EU.
Yeah. So, at this point, give us a little update.
The latest, I took a little break because I had to build a fence. And yeah. I'm building a boat for my other film.
A mini boat.
For the rabbits. But I did score a huge score in Dallas. It would be the last weekend of the year.
Oh, so you were out as recent as the last weekend of New Year's weekend?
Yeah, New Year's weekend.
Up to Dallas for New Year's weekend.
I went there Friday. I basically was going to be in town visiting friends in Dallas, and I said, you know what? Why don't I just go see what comic book stores
they got? Did you stay overnight?
Yes.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And so what I did was I went to search for basically comic book stores in Dallas, Texas, and I came up with one. Yeah, Duncanville, Texas. There was a comic book store called Duncanville Comics.
Pretty impressive.
I was impressed, but they didn't have they had Star Wars comics. Don't get me wrong, but they didn't. They weren't the high quality that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. They weren't.
Now, what's the name of this place? The comic book store.
Yes, it was Duncan's. What's the city called again?
Oh, Duncanville.
Duncanville's comic book store.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's called.
Well, I wonder how they came up with that name.
So the only comic I got there was Darth Vader 25, the last one, right?
Yeah.
1-1. So basically, when you look at the comic book and you see the little serial numbers, the little lines for the computer can read it. You know?
Yeah.
Look at the numbers, and if it's 02511, that means that it's episode 25, first variant of the magazine, and first printing. And so that's another way to verify the comic book is. That's why you can find which is the original comic they sent out for that particular episode. And so I had 25-5-1, but I didn't have 25-1-1, and I found it. So that's the only comic I got there at Duncanville. And then I had done some other searching for other comic book stores, and Titan Comics was another one that I had my target on.
Also in Dallas area?
In Dallas. Kind of inside Dallas.
Is Dallas beating Austin in the comic book?
Yes.
Area?
Oh, yeah. Duncanville Comics had a large supply of back issue comics as maybe almost as Austin Comics on Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to them.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Then I asked them, can you point a comic book store out to me that has a large back issue like you guys? And they said Titan Comics.
That's where you went.
And that was one of my main targets anyway. So
that's in Dallas proper?
Yeah, on Forest Lane. Forest Lane.
Oh, I know Forest Lane, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went there and it was a motherload. I was like, hell yeah. So I ended up getting like 30 comics the first trip. They had everything.
Now, how do you transport these when you get 30 comics?
Very delicate.
A box?
Yes, I took a box with me.
You bring a box with you.
Yeah. But
a lot to haul.
It's 61 comics is a lot to haul.
You just want to throw those on the floor of the car.
No, you don't want to do that.
Or put them in a trash bag.
No, and don't want to do that. Carry them out. So when I went there, I found comics and I was looking through them, you know, being real picky which ones I was getting.
Yeah.
There's maybe two duds I got, but it's okay. I'll go look for them again. With the first trip Friday, they got picked out 30. There wasn't enough time to get more. They said open tomorrow. I go, what? You open tomorrow on New Year's Eve? I go, thank you. And I was like, you know, so happy.
Wow. New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve. And so I went back the next day and got 30 more.
Dedicated.
Yes.
Dedicated. They're opening up.
That Titan Comics is the coolest comic store I've been to. Mainly focusing on,
I've heard of them.
They're really good, and they're actually moving up the road a little bit, and they're getting a bigger place.
Wow!
So yeah, Titan Comics.
Best in the state that you've seen?
Yes,
overall,
definitely the Titan Comics so far. Now I'm going to
be better than Austin Comics.
Yes, it's not better than Austin Comics. Now,
and Austin Comics has almost a block.
Yes, the whole block is this, but that one store is all back issues, and not bad. But the other comic book store that closed down that I'm really sad about was Capital
here Comics. In Austin, and they're done for sure. They're not reopening anywhere.
No, that was really sad to hear that. But they're on Anderson. They closed down. They were my favorite comic book store because I cleaned them out of as many comics as I could, and I still didn't have enough time. And I didn't have enough money.
Did you get to know the owner at all? Of Cap? Yes. Was it Capstone?
I think it was Capital Stone?
Capital Comics?
Capital Stone.
Cap Comics?
Yeah, Cap Comics.
Yeah, it was near here.
Yeah, near your house.
On Anderson Lane. Anderson Lane. You get to know the owner a little bit over there?
Yeah, John. Real nice guy, yeah. So it's unfortunate that happened, though.
Now, a comic book store. Mm-hmm. Is it profitable? Does it make good money?
It's dangerous. Because the thing is, if you notice most comic book stores now, they have to diversify and get other silly little game cards and all that kind of stuff. They had to diversify to survive.
Like the Dragon's Lair.
Yes, exactly.
Totally diversifies.
Totally, yes. But their main focus is not comics anymore. So that's the reason why I love Titan Comics, because their whole focus is on comics.
Period. I guess because they're in such a big metropolitan area.
Yeah, I think that's
that they have a market.
Yes.
They can afford to just do comics.
Just comics only, exactly.
And be kind of still thrive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the only thing that held me back from getting more comics was money. This whole trip, I think, this whole year, I think I've probably collected 400 comics.
How far do you estimate you've got left to go?
I'm probably about 60% there.
60%.
I estimate there's at least 1,000 plus comics in the EU Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guesstimating that. And I have about 600 of them right now.
Do you forecast, though, towards the end, you're going to run into a couple of really hard ones that were
You're
never going to find?
Probably not, no.
And you'll have to go, to extremes to track them down?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to keep it real and just basically, if I can find
them. And break into Matt Wilkins' house?
If I have to, I will.
Yeah.
To get the You'll list. Have to forgive me for that, though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Forgive me, Because
he says Master he has Wilkins. Them all. He has them all.
He has them all. He's the only guy that we know that you've ever talked to.
That I know has them all.
They had them all.
But he has everything on top. I'm only collecting the comics only.
Yeah.
I'm not collecting Star Wars Tales. I collect the new Star Wars canon. Those are nice too. I like those. Mm-hmm. And I'm not collecting the novels. Not collecting the other stuff from the internet or anything like that. Just comics only that made it to comic book form, basically. So everything with those. I have some parallels too. They're pretty nice. I like those. They're cool. But yeah, you're talking about 1,000 comics. I have about 600 of them, and I'm still going to see if I can find more. But dude, Titan still has a shitload there.
You could just go back there and get a lot. I can get accomplished.
I was looking at them. I was like, I can't get them all.
Well,
I can't save them all. That's what it is. I can't save them.
Well, in the beginning,
I feel like Schindler's List. I can't save them all. I'm trying to save as many as possible.
You're trying to save it.
I'm trying to save them all. I'm trying, but I can't.
He's comparing his comic book acquisitions to. To the movie Schindler's List, if you're keeping score.
I would sell my shoes to get more. I just can't get them all.
You only need one pair of shoes.
I only need one.
And you were going to shows first, right?
Comic-Cons were the best, but because I couldn't find here in Austin, I you know, the two stores that I could go to. I tried all the other comic book stores in the Austin area, which about 7 or 8 of them.
Right.
None of them. They're all crap to me.
We're in a small market compared to Dallas, a small market.
Well, there's at least two other ones in Dallas that have back issues like that, but I haven't seen them yet.
So thinking about this, you went to
Houston
Titan,
yes,
in Dallas. They had everything.
There's still more.
You could have done a lot more, saved a lot more lives.
Yes, I could have saved a lot more lives.
But you had to draw back because you were running out of resources. But
I needed $20 to get home, could gas.
Yeah, you need money for gas, and you wanted to eat something the next day.
But I didn't care. I didn't care, man.
But now knowing that, having been there and seen that at Titan, do you skip now all the shows and just go back to Titan next time you want to get some more? Is it just easier just to go back to Titan?
Well, if there's a comic book convention here in Austin, I'll go.
Okay.
I pay $20.
Because it's just down this road.
Yeah, it's no big deal. And I'll be more picky.
Your first time at Titan?
Yes, first time at Titan, not the last.
So it was a real epiphany.
Yes, it was awesome. They had everything there, man. Do that.
It's kind of like what they are for comic books, kind of like what I Love Video is for VHS and DVD.
Yeah, man, they are.
Because there's no place now left video in Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, I Love Video, that's a pretty special thing we've got here.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
In town to have something still like that. That's a dying dinosaur.
It is, yeah. And see, comic book stores are kind of hitting the same way, too.
Well, but I think they're going to outlive the DVDs and VHS.
I hope so, because there's something... The thing about a comic book is it's an art form. Mm-hmm. It's some are really pretty, some are beautiful, good stories.
You can touch it.
It's right there in front of you.
Blaring screen.
No, it's not. But you got to protect them. You got to put them in hardbacks. Full bags. You got to put them in full bags.
They're artwork.
And you got to put them in Mylar bags. And that's what I put mine in. The old Star Wars
bags. To properly preserve them.
To protect them, yeah.
Do you think they could have a renaissance at some point? They're down. They're not where they were like in the 60s and 70s.
No, they're not. No. Well, like books. Books are never going to go away. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think they could have a renaissance? Kind of like they say vinyl is having. Because vinyl apparently is having this huge renaissance where it's resurgence.
Hmm. Yeah. Well.
The interest in it.
There's still a shitload of titles out there. Mm-hmm. The only problem is back issues. That's the problem. These stores can't survive on that. They have to sell them back.
They have to sell lots. Yeah. They diversify.
They got to diversify. But Titan is focused on.
And there's probably others like them in big cities. Like New York.
Los Angeles. But as far as Texas, after I complete cleaning out Titan as much as I can, right? And I could probably complete the entire collection from them, but I don't know that.
Speculation.
And there might be another comic book store that has more like Titan that I'll clean out.
Did you just want to quit your job and move to Dallas and just like start working at Titan?
No, I wasn't. How do I do that? I love my house too much. But it was really enjoyable. What a way to end the year of searching for these comics and boom. Yeah. It was a huge overload,
It's a good way to end the new year out. Mm-hmm. It's a very nerdy way to end the new year out.
Oh, hell yeah, man. It was nerdy awesome.
Nerdy as shit, but no, it's...
But yeah, as far as if anyone like wants advice on doing what I'm doing, mm-hmm. which is probably nobody, I know where to go to now, and you just got to keep hunting, got to keep searching.
And if you have questions, dial Reed up. He's he is on, his phone number is...
555-FUCK.
You can dial him up on Facebook.
Yeah, if you have any nerd questions about comics, yeah. As far as like hunting them down and where to go, yeah.
Reed Charles on Facebook. He's got a picture. It's a illustration.
Yeah, it's a...
what's his name? The guy, JJ's buddy.
Yeah, the everyone thinks I look like him, so it's right.
From the comic book, and you'd be able to pull that. You pulled that off from online. Yeah, it's the guy.
That's
pretty
awesome.
The guy he looks like. What's his character's name?
Oh, man.
The guy from
Tubby? I don't know.
Yeah, he's the Tubby pilot in Force Awakens, and then he's also in the Star Trek films.
Yeah,
because he's like JJ's guy.
That's the only reason why he's on there.
Yeah, it's like he's like Ron Howard's brother, where Ron Howard puts his brother in a little small part in every movie. That's like this guy is like JJ's version of that.
I forget his name, his real name.
Yeah,
I forget.
He's going if you can go to a show sometime where he's going to be at a show.
I should definitely go.
You could take a picture. Yeah, you should go. Yeah. It'd be funny to be just side by side.
I'll be signing next time. Like, hey, what's up?
Take a picture with him.
I'm a double guy.
I heard one time though it was a jinx to see your lookalike, to meet your lookalike.
A jinx?
A superstition.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide.
Well, I'm going to close it out with agree or disagree for Mr. Reed Charles. Here it goes. The first one of 2017. By the way, we were going to have another episode before the end of to end the year out. I was going to do a year in review, and then Gus passed away that week, so we canceled doing anything that week. So I'm going back next week, and I'm finally going to do the year in review, and then me and Reed are going to readjourn in a couple of weeks, and we're going to do a Dune episode.
Oh man,
it's a new
a whole nother
they're remaking Dune.
Cool shit.
And I got some crazy stuff we're going to do for that episode. All right, agree or disagree? This past week, it was announced on many different outlets that Lucasfilms is in talks with Woody Harrelson to play Han Solo's mentor in the Solo standalone. However, it was also leaked that Christian Bale was previously considered for the same role. Would Bale have been the better choice for this part? Agree or disagree? Thinking about the personality types.
Hunger Games, right?
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson.
Now, you know they pulled this character. The rumor is they pulled this character from EU.
Really?
This was a character from EU, and it was the Han Solo's mentor in the EU taught him how to fly, taught him how to do a lot of his seedy things that he did.
Wow.
Yeah. So this character, the type of person that would play this kind of character.
So would Christian Bale make a better mentor than Woody Harrelson? I would say I have to disagree.
Uh-huh.
I would go with Woody Harrelson.
You like that type better, Woody Harrelson. And they said that for some reason they can't ink a deal with Woody Harrelson. They might go back to Bale somehow. That's just speculation.
Hmm.
All right, so number two. In the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming, one of the most anticipated movies of this 2017, we will see the return of Spidey's web wings.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
These do not appear in the two previous Spider-Man film series.
Because they suck.
Do you agree or disagree with this move? I think you might have already answered the question.
Agree.
And you know that was in the comic books,
yes.
Spider-Man comic books in the early days, in the 60s and 70s. They took it out for a while at the comics. They brought it back in the 80s at one point. Mm-hmm. And then in the films, it never appeared.
No. You know why? You know why it didn't appear in the films? Because Sony was doing it. That's why. And all you morons that went to go see Spider-Man when it was part of Sony, shame on you.
Shame, shame.
Shame.
Did you go see him?
No.
Did you watch him on TV? DVD?
Bootleg.
On your phone?
Bootleg.
Bootleg.
Maybe.
Maybe. But you didn't watch all of them.
No, because they were with Sony.
Yeah.
And then you understand the politics behind that. Sony had to make a crappy, shitty... How many times you got to watch his uncle, his grandfather?
Yeah, his uncle.
His uncle died.
But you know the thing is...
That's what I'm saying.
Well, wait, and what Reed's talking about...
There's my fucking point.
What Reed's talking about, if you've been under a rock for 20 years... Basically, Sony had to make a new Spider-Man movie
every 3 or 4 years.
Every 3, maybe 4 years.
And make money.
Or they would default and lose the rights by
And it would go back to Marvel.
Which is why they rebooted so fast.
So many goddamn times.
After they stunk they stunk up the last series, they turned around and rebooted. Yeah. It was really quick.
That's why I didn't believe that Spider-Man was going to be used for Civil War. I didn't think it was going to happen.
No, we thought.
I was shocked.
We never thought it was going to happen.
But it's
finally did is they worked a deal with Marvel.
With Sony.
Yeah, Sony worked a deal with Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel Films.
Yes.
Disney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be able to put together a collaboration and then let them basically do it. Hey,
and like, thank you.
Let the big boys take over for a while and do it right. Mm-hmm. And now the trailer just is looking amazing. We were talking about this earlier.
It better do better than the other films, the other Spider-Man films.
With Michael Keaton. And I think it's going to get it right. I think it's going to get it right this time. All right. Speaking of the Spider-Man Homecoming, the arch nemesis and villain will be played by Michael Keaton.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, Michael Keaton back in a superhero film. So Michael Keaton... Well, by the way, I just read Michael Keaton said why he didn't do the third Batman. He said because Joel Schumacher, his idea sucked. It was going to suck. He said basically it was going to suck.
I'm out of here.
He went to the meetings. Yeah. He said, I was going to the meetings. I went to the meetings for several weeks. I was going to go forward.
But see, how can he talk about that now because he's not afraid of burning bridges?
Yeah, because it's already been...
That's the reason why I talk.
He said, Joel Schumacher, the script, it sucked.
Uh-huh.
He said, when I first knew that this was going south is when we had a meeting and Joel Schumacher said, why does it always have to be so dark? He said, why does it have to be so dark? We can make this, you know, less dark. And then Michael Keaton was like, that's when he knew. It was like, this is going south.
These guys are going to fuck it up.
And of course, he was smart. He got out. They replaced him with Val Kilmer. They did one with Val Kilmer.
That was it.
And then it just was downhill after that.
Then we got the
George Clooney and the Mr. Freeze and that debacle.
Yeah.
But yeah, Keaton was the smarter man for getting out while he was ahead. And it was a shame that they didn't find someone maybe that could have made it more of a closer to the what Keaton was doing in one and two.
Well, that's why I like when Affleck being Batman, I think, is probably the best Batman.
Well, and now, though, they're having some issues with that because that looked like that was off and running.
Well, it's probably because the shitheads are not the fans.
And he said...
Or buttonheads with Affleck.
Yeah, because he said, I'm not going to do it unless we get the script right.
Yes.
You know, if we don't get the script right, I'm not going for it. I have a lot of respect for him.
No, I'm not just saying
I'm just going to do the shit to make some money.
That's good.
And be lazy about it.
No, man, you can't be like that.
So we'll have to talk about that, too. That's going to be interesting. All right, Michael Keaton in the new film, The Founder. It's a biopic about the food pioneer Ray Kroc.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So this is about like the early days of McDonald's franchises. Mm-hmm. And Ray Kroc was a salesman that went around and sold door-to-door restaurants. I think he sold blenders, something like our appliances.
Yeah, I think I saw a trailer for that a couple of months back.
So he basically went in and kind of built McDonald's empire. He convinced the two brothers that started it that they could do it bigger, make it bigger, and make it like a big thing, like a franchise nationwide. Anyway, will this movie that's been getting some Oscar buzz, will it finally be the film that helps Michael Keaton capture the Oscar win for Best Actor? Of course, he lost with Birdman. Oh. And a lot of people thought he got robbed on Birdman.
That was really good.
So, do you agree or disagree this will be the movie that gets him the Oscar?
After seeing Birdman and then seeing he's going to be a new Spider-Man movie, I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, he definitely has made the resurgence.
Yeah.
Because he was off the radar for a while.
Yeah, he was.
And it might have been by choice. Maybe he just didn't want to do it. He was kind of just taking a break, enjoying his money. I know he's an outdoorsman. He likes to fish and hunt. So he was doing.
You know, he's from like a real large family, I heard.
Last year was tough. That's when you had DiCaprio and let's see.
Oh, Revenant?
Yeah, with Revenant. Okay. And so this year, the actress category is actually probably going to be the stiffest competition because you got Natalie Portman, who played Jackie O movie.
That's getting
a lot of Oscar buzz. You've got Emma.
Like her too.
Huh?
Looks like her too.
Yeah, she did a good job. Emma Stone, La La Land. That movie's getting a lot of like praise and buzz. There's the Taraji Henson in Hidden Figures. It's been getting a lot of buzz. And then I think Meryl Streep was like almost automatic that she's like in every year she's got a movie and she's nominated for it. It's like almost an automatic. You got to have a Meryl Streep, like, you know.
Boom, she's there.
In there. Yeah, absolutely. So there's the actresses. The actress category is going to be pretty tight this year. There's going to be a lot of, let's see who their award. This is awardcircuit.com. Oh, there's some interesting ones here. They got, they're already predicting nominees. Denzel Washington for Fences. Casey Affleck. He's got that movie, Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, that's Ben Affleck's younger brother.
Yeah, that would be really cool to see him. His brother's been kind of the one to get all the glory and kind of been at the forefront, and then his brother would win a Best Actor. That'd be kind of cool to see him kind of finally get sort of his due. Ryan Gosling for La La Land, which everybody's going crazy over. Then Andrew Garfield, who was Spider-Man in the last film. He's actually one
that
of the
poor kid.
Early, well, not so bad now. He's good. Actually predicted for Hacksaw Ridge. Good. As being one of the possible nominees.
Oh, that's where he plays that conscientious objector in the military. The doctor.
Wouldn't that be the best, like, fuck you ever to Sony?
Good.
Like, he got, like, the shitty Spider-Man.
Was that produced by Sony?
And then he turned...
Maybe that film was produced by Sony.
Okay, but then Michael Keaton is kind of right there on the outside as a possible nominee. Adam Driver. Kylo Ren. For a movie called Patterson.
Oh, that's where he's a bus driver.
Yes.
Yeah, that I think,
He's a good actor.
He's not bad.
He's a good actor. He's not bad. Andrew Garfield is listed for two different movies here.
Wow.
He's listed on the outside of the
Yeah,
top
watch
five.
Him win a film for that and not for Spider-Man because the people who made Spider-Man suck. That's why.
Yeah, it wasn't him that the reasons why Spider-Man sucked.
There you go.
It was the shitty execution.
Yep.
You know, it's not always the actor's fault. And many times it's not the actor's fault. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the actor... You know, can be the problem, but then that's who cast him, who cast the actor, who made the bad casting choice. It always goes back to who the execution, from the top. There's another one here. Oh, this guy, Joel Edgerton. This guy's like a chameleon. You would never recognize him from one movie to the next. I mean, he just sort of just morphs into.
Show me a picture of him.
Yeah, I'll show you. Okay, the movie that he was in not too long ago.
Oh, he looks like
this guy.
Yeah, he was in. He was Animal Kingdom, which they made a TV show of. He was in that movie where the alien kid. Adam Driver was a scientist going after that kid.
Midnight Special.
Midnight Special. He was in Midnight Special. He's one of the brothers.
The movie I was trying to remember was The Gift. He was in a movie called The Gift in 2015 where he played the psycho.
Stalking
this couple.
Yes, yeah, that was fucking awesome.
He got obsessed with the woman.
No, okay. The Gift is good. Yeah.
Now here's the thing.
Revenge movie.
Many years ago, he had the part in the prequels for the Star Wars movies.
He was Uncle Owen.
He was the young Uncle Owen. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you go back and look at that. Holy shit,
that's right. Totally fucking forgot about
that. And then
you're
like, see him now where he's at.
Yeah.
He was playing that little small part. Wow. And now you see him, you know.
Well, see, in the Star Wars Tales, not the EU.
Yeah.
But Star Wars Tales, Uncle Owen kills
yes.
Darth Maul.
Yes, that's true.
He gets to shoot him in the head with his rifle.
Yeah, so you're wondering if they do a Darth Maul
The recent Star Wars Rebels just showed a trailer where it was Ben Kenobi and Darth Maul.
Look, yeah.
And he said he's like, Ben Kenobi's out of fire.
Yeah.
And then Ben Kenobi senses him and he's like, you're not supposed to be here. And he gets up and it's fucking Darth Maul.
Ha.
You're not supposed to be here.
We're going to get that at some point. Oh. We're going to get the Darth Maul, either at the TV or the film.
His character is really, what Johnny was saying too, his character's really changed, man. He's gone. They're setting something up there, man. Something good shit there.
You know some other good shit?
Did you?
Return of the Farting Jedi.
Holy shit, that's hilarious, dude. I had that up like, I don't know, like 6 years ago or something, and I played it and I fucking couldn't stop laughing. Yep, still funny.
It's still funny.
Still fucking funny.
That's when you know something's funny.
That's when you know, yeah.
This is our thoughts and advice. Courtesy,
you already got those pots.
Courtesy of Yoda.
What's the matter?
Sick have I become.
The editing is just so good.
See?
What's the matter?
Most unfortunate.
You be more careful.
Dutch oven?
Dutch oven?
He said Dutch oven. And you see the editing, how they go back to Luke, and they go back to, you know, like, the reaction on his face. Yes.
Dude,
it's just what makes it.
That's the first time I've heard Dutch oven. I'm laughing so fucking hard. That's the first time I've heard that.
Have you ever had gas so bad that it affected the way you talked while you were farting? Like you couldn't talk the same?
Luke!
He's barely grunting that.
Dutch oven.
And they did that zoom in, but that zoom in, I don't know if it was in the original cut.
No, it's not.
They did that zoom in on the editing. The zoom in was really... The editing, I have to really give these guys credit.
My face is hurting.
Don't do that.
Facial expression.
I know.
This is a shot. This is the Yoda when he's about
my
to
face
in the Return of the Jedi.
Oh, my face is
and
hurting,
Luke,
dude.
Luke comes back to see him.
Oh my god!
And he's in Luke's in his Jedi Knight outfit, all black.
Yeah.
And he's going back to see Yoda. Yoda's in his deathbed.
This is.
And his. And then he dissolves.
He dissolves.
But then wait. He's back. He's back. And then his reaction. I can't, you know, I could not think of a better way
to kind of, oh my God.
Another way to play tribute to Gus.
Oh, my face fucking hurts, man.
Gus the Pug, then to show that hilarious Yoda video. Who reminded me of Gus the Pug.
Yeah, it did.
And you know that was Yoda in his passing before.
It's fucking hilarious.
But not
dude.
Passing as much as he was passing gas.
Passing gas. That's funny. That's the first time I heard him say Dutch oven. I'm fucking laughing to the whole fucking thing.
It says here that this is on the YouTube channel of 1 Minute Galactica. So
yeah,
you want to go
it's fucking hilarious.
But all you have to do to watch it is just go to YouTube and type in funny Yoda farts.
Okay.
And it'll take you. You'll Return of the Farting Jedi is the name of the video.
Well, he laughs at the end.
Oh my goodness, it's fucking so funny. These guys that come up with this stuff, I don't know how they come.
That's
up.
They've done a bunch of other videos too, but that's their best video.
Man, it's good stuff. All right, well, we want to wish everyone, now that we're in the new year, want to wish you a happy one. Thank you for joining us. May the Force be with you, Carrie Fisher, and Gus the Pug.
Always,
always.
The Force is with me. I am one with the Force.
Force of me, I'm one of the Force. Force of me, I'm one of the Force. The Force of me.
This
I lied.
Thunder Pop was a Hit the Bricks production.
Gus, 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 Gus,
super energetic now.
Gus,